You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined by Corey, the Bite Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. All right, guys, we are back after a brief hiatus, and we say that a lot lately.
Brief well, is an understatement.
Yeah, well, we had some midterms and then some familial matters, which we won't get into, but yeah, we are excited to be back. At least I know I am, and I think what we're going to do here is we're just going to do a brief overview of the few major events that have happened. if that's okay with you, Corey, because we're not going to be able to go into everything. So I've kind of compiled a little list here of some major events. I'm sure I forgot some, and Corey, you can get into it with me, but and then I'll just get your opinion. Then I'll say mine. We'll do a little overview. And I'm sure we'll have a little bit of, you know, some current stuff to talk about here. And then we'll just be ready. We'll have everything covered and we'll be back into the regular flow of things for our next episode, which will be in 3 or 4 days. So we're going to be right back.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So like, let's not even get into the little catch up here. Let's talk right straight into it. I know for current, you know, guys listening, this is going to be, oh shit, that happened so long ago, but because we haven't been able to talk about it. Kirby Dach out for the season.
It's disgusting, but he did today, he successfully, well, they gave it a success on his knee surgery. So underwent knee surgery, successful. So that's the most up-to-date Kirby Dach news.
Which is great to hear. Corey, I just wanted to can we get a little overview of your initial reaction? Like, did you expect it to be season ending? Or?
Oh my God, dude. I was so upset. And it looked like an average hit, you know, just into the boards. Welcome to the new season. And he's out. He's gone. He's gone. And he played so fucking good in the preseason. In the first game and however many minutes into the second one.
He had 2 points in 2 games in the regular season.
Just gutted. Just fucking gutted, dude. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I know everyone was just upset. Like, here we go again.
Were you expecting it to be...
No.
Standing? No.
No. I was like, you know what? He'll be... He just fell a little awkward. It is what it is. Dude, season ending.
I'm not trying to sound like LeBron James here, just capping, telling lies. But the second I saw him get off the ice, I didn't think it was season ending. But, you know, I don't know. This is kind of my logic. And I feel like it kind of makes, whenever I see a guy get a bad injury, it's always off a nothing play like that. Cause it's like they don't brace themselves for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to my roommate and I was like, no, it's gonna be bad. Like that's an ACL or something. I didn't think it was his ACL MCL. Okay, that was overboard. But yeah, I just, when it's those little hits like that, to always be something like that. It's never the big explosive knocked on their ass. You know what I mean? Yeah,
it's just a soft, like playing the body type of hit, and they just, okay, he's not coming at me like it's like wicked fast. Hey, I'm just gonna absorb the hit, pop off the boards, and continue my shift. You know, and it's all right. See you in 2025. You know,
well, 2024.
Whatever. What's the 24-25 season?
Yeah. So yeah, super unfortunate.
I just feel so bad for him.
Absolutely terrible.
He is such a talented fucking player.
Well, it's truly the single worst thing that could have happened. Like, that mm-hmm. is the worst thing that could have happened to the Habs season. And I mean that quite literally because, you know, Slav's just, his play hasn't been the same. The team's second or maybe arguably first best player isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It is the worst thing that could have happened. We talked a lot about how Gerby Duck has the highest potential for centers on this team, even more so than Suzuki offensively. That was the worst thing that could have happened. It's truly heartbreaking. And I feel for Gerby Duck, and it's just like that was the worst thing that could have happened this season.
Yeah.
Bar Slav getting hurt as well. Like yeah. that.
I think what sucks too, Mason, and we're starting to see some offense from Nick Suzuki. But there was like a reassurance that if things weren't working out, like Gerby Duck has solidified himself as a center. He's not going to be on the wing unless something crazy was to happen. But to me, it felt like, okay, if things weren't working out on the first line, the top line, like it wasn't for a little bit, like there was a feeling that, you know, either we could create a line for Caulfield on the second pairing and do like a 1A, 1B style with Doc and Caulfield, or, you know, drop Nick to the second and bring up Doc. Like, I just felt like we had so much more room to play around to find Cole Caulfield's offense or vice versa. And I feel so limited. Like, I know we're doing good right now, but I felt like that was an important piece that fell out for us.
In a weird way, I agree with what you're saying, like the premise of what you're trying to say, but I disagree with your reasoning. And that's because, like, I don't think Caulfield was ever the factor there. But what I really think Gerby Duck's departure is, first and foremost, Slav and Newhook. Newhook being forced to play in center, I think he's capable of it. I don't think he's terrible at it, but I think he was thriving on the wing. And Slav. Like, yeah. Slav needs to play with a guy like Gerby Duck. Having Josh Anderson on that line, which I want to talk about later, is the single worst thing that could have happened for Slav. They do mm-hmm. not work. They don't work together. And
no, it's two big-ass guys that are... Mm.
Well, as a secondary thing, it makes Suzuki the number one target again.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy. He's going to get all the tough matchups. And this just puts a strain on a lot of the young guys, which then puts those top guys on Caulfield. It really hurts the team. So, yeah, Gerby Duck's departure. We don't want to, like I said, we got a lot to cover here. So, do you have any closing thoughts? It's just brutal for me.
Happy, successful surgery. I know that even if it's for one season, we're going to see a Gerby Duck. We're going to see what he's made of. And I can't wait. Best wishes. Really wish he was here. This has been an interesting team to watch, and I think we would be that much more surprising if he was still with us.
No, I agree. Now, to follow up with some happier Habs news, Josh Waugh just won AHL Rookie of the Month.
Oh, after sick. Putting
up 12 points with 5 goals and 7 games played. Actually has the highest points per game in the AHL right now. He's third in league scoring. The two guys ahead of him are both played 9 games. Waugh's only played 7. So could very well be leading the AHL in scoring here.
What a fantastic thing to look forward to.
Well, we are big Josh Waugh supporters on this podcast, and
shit was going to happen when Kirby Doc went down. I said, well, everybody was praising Josh Waugh. I mean, when he first started the season, he had already like four or so points in 2 games or something like that. Like just an unreal opening game for the season.
Well, yeah, and you've got – this is his first pro season too. So to get these results is just
– yeah, he's just – he's everything's awesome. Connecting for him. He's having a lot of fun, and he is fucking producing like a machine.
Exactly. So, yeah, excited to see that. I've seen some talk of we should get Waugh up. I love Waugh where he is. I hope he stays there for most of the season.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a shot up here, but I don't think it's his time.
I hope it's in 2024, though. Let him cook. Let him cook. I would love to see is slap down there with him. Let them tear up the AHL together. It's not going to happen. Slap's never going to taste the AHL.
Just a bit unfortunate.
It's ridiculous, and I don't even want to get into that tirade yet because I feel it coming, but yeah, really happy for Josh Waugh. Seen a lot of the Laval team actually in the youth succeeding. Laval has been playing pretty decently. I don't know what their win-loss record is, but offensively, the team's done very well. Joel Armia was lighting it up with like 4 goals and 5 points in 4 games. Sean Farrell's done well, 5 points and 7. I've seen Logan Mayhew actually, potting 2 goals, playing decently well. Trudeau looks good down there. Like the youth movement is taking over the AHL, and it's really nice to see.
Absolutely. it was bittersweet to see Joel Armia go down, but for him to like immediately see success, and everyone was just like, he's way better than the AHL. And it just, you just like go to bite your tongue because you're like, fuck, dude, like, why can't he find it at this level again? More than just the little spurts we've seen. But I'm happy that he did good down there. Obviously, he got called up and was very impactful, his first game back, to the point where in the overtime, everybody was like, hey, throw him in. He's great on breakaways. I'm looking really hard. I'm trying to get this where they're at in their season as far as
that's okay. Loss. It doesn't really matter. But because at the end of the day, the wins don't matter down there.
It's the experience.
Performances of the youth, right? So they're looking good. Moving past that, on the NHL side, when we're talking about young guys, other than Slav, Caden Gooley, injured for a few day games, has looked very, very good, though. Especially his last few games back, he's really impressed me, not only with his defensive game, but also his breakout ability and the offensive kind of aspects he seems to have added over the offseason, really rushing into the play. We saw against the Jets, he had 2 assists. Even last game against the Vegas Golden Knights, there was a goal where it was Suzuki's goal, actually, I think it was Suzuki's goal. King Gooley was right in the play. There was another play where King Gooley, I think it was in overtime. King Gooley rushed all the way down, broke into the zone, got the 2-on-1 chance. Like, he's been playing out of his fucking mind for the Habs. So what are your thoughts on that, buddy? Like, he's just been great. I think he's been our best defenseman, with Mike Matheson looking like he's playing hurt. Gooley's really stepped up.
Right. Yeah. Mike Matheson has showed flashes, but definitely something's off. For Gouley to be injured and then come back and then just come back with this tenacity has been so fucking enjoyable. It feels like this feels like a new Caden Gouley. I know it's a short taste, but he just came back so hungry. Like just another step in his game has been activated, and it has been really fun. I don't know, just his offensive awareness out there has been great. Like, maybe not offensive, but his just mind for the game, his vision, he's been excelling, and he's been just full throttle since coming back.
Yeah. Like, I've watched every game, Habs game this season. Outside of like one that I like half watched on my phone at when I was at work, so like at the nursing station when their work call bell is going off, I was like watching. But I would honestly say Caden Gouley's been our best defenseman, like bar none. And another young guy playing out of his mind since his call up from the AHL, was he our seventh? Yes, he was our seventh.
Yeah, he had been scratched. Sorry.
Being stupid here. He was our seventh defenseman since losing David Savard to a broken hand on a sequence that I'd love to talk about. It was awesome, but we don't have time for it today. So unfortunately, we lost him. But Justin Barron making the most of his opportunity there, but with, I think, three
back-to-back goals, and then the third night. First off, back-to-back goals
now.
First goal of each night of those two games. So set the tone early for the
and
team.
Nice goals, too.
Nasty goals. Like not like a one-timer. Like I believe his first one, he had a good couple of seconds with the puck and just found his target and took it. Like, it wasn't just he caught him off guard. He chose where he wanted to put that fucking puck, and he put it past him. And
playing out of his mind defensively too. He's been playing so well offensively.
A complete 180 from how he looked in the preseason.
Yeah, I genuinely picked him up in fantasy because he's played so well. And really flashing that ability that made him a first overall pick by the Colorado Avalanche. Only 3 years ago, right? Like, people forget that because, but I think, you know, young defenseman, 21, good skater, decent size, 6'2". Like, I think Justin Barron's really coming into his own. And if I'm Jordan Harris and Arbor Jack guy, I am sweating over the fact that he's already jumped me in the lineup playing with Gouley, and they look good together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when David Savard comes back, like it or not, that's
we're having a tough we're having a tough decision because David Savard's not sitting.
You know? And I would really start to question, if I'm Jack guy, my position on the second power play, which I honestly think Jack guy has been okay. Our power play is 14th in the league right now.
It's weird.
They're
bad, and then they get it, and you're like, okay, that's awesome, but we still need to move on past this system.
Yeah,
and they're like,
I'm not
one at a time.
It shouldn't be working, but it is.
It is.
What I will say is that Barron, or not Barron, Jack Eye does okay. I don't think it's really the defenseman's issue. I think it has a lot to do with, you know,
I think it's the scheme more than anything.
I think Jack Eye's been okay, but I am really gonna start questioning if I'm him, and if as a fan, like, you know, Gouley, for some reason they don't want to put Gouley, but if Barron keeps scoring,
they're gonna have to,
because he's gotten looks before. I would really start to question my role on that second power play. Mike Matheson, you're fine, but Jack Eye, like, look out, right? Look out,
right.
And that's good. We talked about this a lot over the offseason and in the past. We want our young guys to have pressure on them, like, this is a good thing. So, really excited for Barron to be succeeding the way he has been.
Absolutely. And he got to play He played with his brother, correct, in the Winnipeg game.
Against his brother.
And he scored. I believe, our first goal of the night. He's been a treat to watch. I love the battle that's going on with our young defensive core. It's literally just like Darwinism right now. And somebody's going to have to take a fucking back seat. So, with him just boosting himself up, I hope this kid explodes, because we need one of them other than Gooley to just really set the tone. I like what you were saying, you know, about potentially utilizing him on the second power play. It's kind of how you want to see Slav kind of get an opportunity on the one, you know, just to give him some time. It's the power play kind of sucks. Let it happen. I don't know how you feel about the power play. Last topic on it real quick. I feel like it's been super fucking messy. We know it doesn't work. It's just working right now. But do you agree that the success of it is just because we've been finding dirty ways to get it in? Like, it's not always the prettiest power play.
Let's call a spade here. The Habs are winning once again due to their goaltending. They have two of the best goalies in the league statistically right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Allen is first in goal saved above. Sam Montembeau is eighth.
Mm.
Okay. Jake Allen is also, I believe, fifth in save percentage. Jake Allen's rocking a 930 save percentage right now. 934 or something. I'll get the eight. Like, it's not... This isn't a good outlook for the Habs. I don't even think their 5-on-5 play has been that great. There are individual players who I think have played amazingly.
Well, but yeah, the teams...
Jake Allen's rocking a 930 save percentage. In three games, he's made 146 saves.
Hmm.
146. That is ridiculous. That's 48 saves a game. And sorry, that's in four games. My bad. That's still 37 saves a game. Is Jake Allen's average?
That's wild.
That's nuts. You can't, that's not sustainable, right? And for a team, like, this is why the Habs had worse odds at Bedard last year. You don't want that happening again. As much as I think there has been encouraging play from players, and Caulfield and Suzuki have both put up points, I wouldn't say it's inspiring, Corey, to be honest. I would say Caulfield and Suzuki together, they work in spite of each other. They're both phenomenally talented. And in flashes, they do show chemistry. Off the ice, they're great buddies. But on the ice,
they're just like combatant players. Like,
it's not even that. I think they need a third player to make them work. And the Habs don't have that right now.
Yeah, they need like some type of binding agent to
glue those two. The Habs have actually played decent 5-on-5 hockey in quite a few games. Like, we dominated the Vegas Golden Knights for two periods.
Mm-hmm.
They got two shots after the first period or something for like until like the very end of the game.
It was the first period was 12 shots on goal for Vegas. The second was two. The third was five.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, those five shots came near the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It was nuts. But the play of Suzuki and Caulfield was not what I noticed in that Vegas game. They got the big goal from Suzuki to tie things up there, but it wasn't – they disappear together, and it's – or they spend time in their zone.
Mm-hmm.
Slaff and Newhook together has not impressed me with the addition of Anderson. Ruins that line.
Yeah.
Our best line has been Sean Monahan, Pearson, and Gallagher. They've all played great. Monahan has been our, I would argue that Monahan's been our best forward.
He's been fun.
Actually, I would die on that fence.
The way he's been slowing it down right in front of the crease has been very, very entertaining.
Well, Monahan has 8 points in 9 games, 5 goals. Jeez. He's played very, very, very well for us. I can't tell you that I've been inspired by their play. I've been inspired by individual performances from Caulfield and Suzuki, respectively. They've both had good games. They've both had good moments. But 5-on-5, I'm not. I can't support them for too much longer. And I think the issue is when you lose Doc and you don't have a lot of talent, you want to play your two best forwards together. But I don't know. I don't really see the solution here. Getting Dvorak back, I think, will help. Moved Newhook to the wing. Maybe move Monahan up a line. But the Habs need to fix a lot of things before they can be happy with their play, because you don't want this team winning games due to goaltending again. Mm-hmm. 2 years in a row. It can't happen.
Well, they've been shooting.
Can't miss out on adding elite talent because we have two elite goalies.
Unfortunately, the goaltending has been fantastic. Now, I'm not going to be upset that we're winning. Statistically, it's not going to help us gain, breakthrough players. But
I root for the team to win every night I watch.
Yeah. I know it's not the best possible outcome for us right now. But if we don't draft better, I can't say anything. Goaltending saving us, because this team, they're fucking second in the league, should still be first in the league as far as penalty minutes per game. We're sitting at 16.6. They play so undisciplined at times that we almost play better when we're down a man right now, it seems. And I know they've been scoring a lot against us. I think they've got, 11 goals against for the penalty kill. But it just seems like when we're, when the team is like, fuck, we really got to kill this, we end up fucking killing it, and we just can't do anything else outside of that. And then we get a really good fucking flash. Some good movement, and then the goalie save us. But as far as anything, the team is very undisciplined with their penalties, and it's costing us. But right now we're just having these miracle moments, and the team, some of the guys on the team are clicking, and it's, I mean, fuck, dude, how many games have been overtime games this year? It's to the point to where I'm like, look, we made it to overtime, we're getting the fucking point, and then we're ending up turning around and just getting the win.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really know where I'm going with my thought there. I just kind of think that the Habs need, something needs to give, and something's going to give. And I can't see the wins continuing to come, especially, like you said, they've been undisciplined now.
Five of our games have been overtime games.
I do actually believe that the refs have been like really hard on the Habs. They do like lead the league in penalty minutes. The officiating's been predictably terrible. Like, I swear it gets worse every year. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where I'm going with that, but
you're good.
Yeah, I'm not confident in the Habs' ability to win.
Five of our games have been overtime games. Our last three games have been overtime games. It's fucking crazy. go ahead.
No, by all means. I think we've probably reached, I was just going to say, we've probably reached the halfway mark here.
Yeah. Yeah, we've reached the halfway mark. And before we get any further, we have a word from our sponsors, DraftKings. The NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets. Let's take a look, Mason. We got your team playing the Chiefs this week. The money line has the Chiefs at -125, Dolphins +105. Let's check out the Ravens are playing the Seahawks. Ravens are -265, Seahawks are +215. I think the Seahawks barely won last week, and the Chiefs got shitted on. I think they only scored 9 points last game. Hopefully Miami can do a little something. I know they lost to the Eagles a couple weeks back. I'd like to see Miami continue their onslaught. Love to see Kansas City lose another game, and I'd like to see the Ravens really show that they can beat a very good team right now with the Seahawks. Anyway, DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game this October. It's now November. Get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. Licensed partner, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, what's up? 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 160 hours after insurance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/footballs terms for eligibility and deposit restriction terms and responsible gambling resources. Fuck. All right, Mason, we also have an ad for our buddies over at Raycon. It may be too early to start decorating for the holidays, which fucking unfortunately isn't true, but it's never too early to start your holiday shopping. Why not take care of it now before the crowds and packed calendars make shopping a total nightmare, especially when you can get some of the best deals of the season well before Black Friday. You can shop Raycon products right now and save up to 50% off because their early Black Friday sale is going on now. You've heard me talk about Raycon products before. The ones that they were generous enough to give to us was the Everyday Earbuds. They're fantastic. I use them at work every fucking day. Raycon first made a name for themselves in the audio space with products like the Everyday Earbuds, like the ones I talk about all the time, known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features like a 32-hour battery life and a perfect in-ear fit for all-day wear and lasting comfort. And this past year, they expanded their entire business with the introduction of Raycon Home and Raycon Power Tech. Their five-star reviewed Magic 180 cable allows you to charge iOS, micro USB, and Type-C devices 8 times faster with 100-watt power delivery. Gotta get that. Fuck. Their faucet filter ultra filters the water in your tap against chlorine and heavy metals. It's a must-have for ensuring the water you use to wash your face or brush your teeth is actually clean. Jesus. Raycon is known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features at half the price of other premium tech brands. It's no wonder their products have ranked up tens of thousands of five-star reviews. To get everyone in on the holiday shopping spirit a bit early, Raycon is currently offering 20% off everything on their site, with select products up to 50% off. So beat the crowds and save now. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on the Raycon early Black Friday sale. Hurry now to buyraycon.com/THPN to get 20 to 50% off site-wide. Fuck, that's awesome. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score up to 50% off Raycon products. Buyraycon.com/THPN. I have been listening to Pain of Truth. Pain of Truth is coming to Houston. I'd love to see them. Probably won't. Fucking Pain of Truth's new album's unreal. Mason, you've been listening to anything? Quick shout out for your playlist.
Put me on the spot here.
If Morgan Wallen for the 30th time.
I have been listening to a lot of Morgan Wallen. We'll say I've been listening to Dylan Gossett.
Okay. Dylan Goss Despair and Pain of Truth. Excuse me, I had such bad cotton mouth. That was two very long ad reads back to back. But thank y'all so much. Mason, where you want to take this, brother? Got one more topic, two more topics. What you thinking?
I thought we would talk maybe a little bit about the upcoming Arizona Coyotes game, which will...
Oh, I would love that.
And then we can, you know, yeah, cover that a bit.
Sounds good to me, brother.
Okay.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, it is Wednesday. I know that much. I think Arizona is playing tonight, so they're going to be on a back-to-back dealing with us, which is go obviously one of two ways. Logan Cooley has looked very good. He seems like he's having a lot of fun. Definitely someone I've...
I think Logan Cooley is... part of what's making this slaff season so tougher. Hard to bear.
Yeah, because he's just killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you got to catch him on Spit and Chicklets, but he's got the love of the game, like kind of like Cole Caulfield does, like that just happy-go-lucky type of guy. He's just sounded like he was just enjoying fucking life. And yeah, you could see it when he plays. He's just, I don't know if this is above his capabilities, but he's got it right now. He's fucking got it. They're winning 3-2 right now against Anaheim at more or less the start of the third right now. So, fuck, it's a tough day for Arizona. So if they get the win tonight, I don't know if they'll get it tomorrow. I think it's going to be a tough one.
I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think Arizona's actually been playing some pretty inspired hockey recently. Just with like their youth kind of really taking over. I think they're winning against... everyone's winning against the Ducks. But like, it's kind of been fully by...
The Ducks last weekend. I mean, not last weekend. Like the last couple games for the Ducks, they've turned it around.
I mean, I picked up Frank Vetrano in fantasy.
Yeah, that's been...
He's eighth in our league.
Wow.
He's eighth in our league.
Jeez.
But, like, I just mean, like, the whole... You knew Vegemalka was going to start off hot.
Mm-hmm.
Which he has, like, riding a 9.26, 2.51 goals against. But Connor Ingram really showing why they picked him up a couple seasons ago, too. He was a promising guy. Rocking a 9.14. Clayton Keller picked it right up where he was. Nick Schmaltz, a guy that I've personally really loved for the last few years. He's, when he's healthy, he's been dominant. And Sean Jersey.
Jersey's got 6 points.
Dynamite, too.
And then you
add Logan Cooley to that mix of guys, and Michelli's played good.
I was going to say, you can't leave out Michelli, who's on his second season. He's already got five assists. He's got a fucking point in every game of the last five games. Jesus Christ.
No,
he's on one right now.
Good. And like you said, they're a young team. They've played really good. And, you know, I think it's going to be a really interesting game against the Habs. I really do. I think two teams that kind of play a similar run and gun style. And yeah, I'm excited to watch it happen. Hopefully, if Cooley scores, I think that really rubs salt in the wound, though. And you know that, Slav scored against the Coyotes last year. His first NHL, was it, that was his first NHL goal?
The one where he screamed in the boy's face?
Yeah. So I'm excited to kind of watch that. And I'm sure Slav's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I'm sure he notices that Logan Cooley's playing very, very well, and people are questioning it.
People
right?
are so, talking up, talking him up.
Hopefully, this lights a fire under his belly, and we see some great play from Slav there. But other than that, I don't have too much I really want to dive too deep in today. Do you?
No, I think that's okay. I hate that we had to rush the first month, but it is what it is. Despite the team just, I don't know, winning when we don't expect them to, it's been fun. I've been able to watch just about every fucking game. I'm very impressed with Newhook. I don't know, man. I'm just really happy to be able to watch games.
Absolutely.
Wherever we're at. But yes, tomorrow's game is going to be very exciting. My first chance to really watch Logan Cooley. Hopefully that puts a fire on Slavkovsky's ass, which I don't honestly think has been playing too bad, but you can't just hammer him next to players that don't work with him, I guess. Or we need a balls up and just send him to the AHL and let him just get top line minutes.
Oh, exactly. Well, hopefully he has a good game tomorrow. We'll be tuning in and be excited to talk about it on the next episode and hopefully have some, you know, talk about some Slav goals or something. That'd be great. But without further ado, thank you guys once again for, you know, the patience coming back, listening to this episode of Habs Nightly. We are going to be back on a regular schedule here soon. So excited to kind of dive into the season, you know, only 9 games. So not much to go on, but we can really start making some assumptions, see how players are doing in the coming weeks. It's going to be exciting. So thank you guys. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank y'all.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.